CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
Yet again, another one of those absolutely fantastic days. It's the shortest of the week. Thank you very much for joining us. And the crowd goes wild. That's because we're champions, guys. I'm a champion. I don't know about you, but it's just a good day, man. It's a good week. It's a good lifetime. I've always said, I started off by saying it's good new season. I'm now on a different time scale, man. Now it's a good lifetime. It's a good news lifetime. Everything is good, and it shall continue to be so as you say it. And I learned some really amazing things yesterday. I was at a book launch. It's the 90 Rules of Entrepreneurship, and it was absolutely amazing by Marnes Broedrijk. And there were amazing guys that were on stage with him. And I mean, the likes of Romeo Kumalo was there. We had Gil. And so many other guys who are really just amazing in the way they think and the way they present things. Eric also shared an amazing concept right there as well. You could probably go and look it up on Twitter if you wanted to. But some of the amazing things there was that life doesn't come at you, life comes from you. It's what you make of things. And there was an amazing illustration about the domino effect, about how the smallest domino can make the biggest difference. Please go onto YouTube, for instance, and just search small dominoes, small to big. And look at the amazing videos that you'll get to see there about how the smallest domino, literally about 2 centimeters, the size of 2 centimeters, can eventually knock down a domino that is the size of the Empire State Building. And this really reminded me about how small changes over time can make the biggest differences. Like, you have challenges in your life. I was chatting this morning, for instance, with a friend of mine who's studying chemical engineering, and I said, you have challenges in your life right now that feel like they are as big as the Empire State Building. Like, my gosh, your marks, you are feeling, it's rough. Kimenj is the roughest degree around. The exams are around the corner. And whenever we start to talk, the first thing that comes out of his mouth is, Aish. And I said, do you know how Aish could affect your marks? It doesn't seem like it when you look at it from the surface. But Aish could be that small domino that if you exchange a negative thought for a positive one, who knows what you could start achieving. And that was the conversation that we had around that, and saying that, you know what, sometimes the smallest things that you can change can actually have the biggest impact on your life. And that, to me, was really something absolutely amazing. That was, some great learnings that I learned yesterday. And I feel like, you know, we should continue learning these things there. And what I sat there and I realized is that, man, I need to be around these type of things more often. I need to immerse myself in a room full of people who are smarter than me in some way or the other, who have achieved more than I have. You know, because you get all too comfortable being the smartest one in the room, being the hardest working person in the room. And it's great to strive to be that person. But once you are, then you're in the wrong room. You need to then change and be in another room where people make you a little bit nervous when you have to speak to them. Or you have to think, oh, shucks, what am I going to say? Shucks, how is this person going to take me seriously? Because maybe the other room that you're in, you would always walk in and you didn't even have to introduce yourself because you're already a somebody. But now when you go into a room where you still have to kind of prove your worth because everyone else is so much more, you could either think that that is the perfect excuse for you to shrink, or you could think, hey, this is the perfect challenge for me to actually grow and become, you know, what I need to become for the actual, for a better future as well. And yeah, man, that was me yesterday, guys. Shucks, I had to walk up and shake some people's hands that, you know, that I look up to. You know, when I look at a magazine for Destiny Man and I see Romeo Kumalo on the cover and I say, I want to read this because it's Romeo. Like, I look up to the person. And I, you know, I see Guild's big business there, the Creative Council, and I say, wow, that's amazing. Whoever did that, I want to meet that person. And now yesterday, I shook his hand. We had a chat. You know, he replied to my tweet this morning. I was like, what the hell? You know, it was cool. And that's amazing. That's what we need. That's what we need in our lives. We need people who make us a little uncomfortable, and we need to stay in that space, because there will come a time where that person no longer makes you feel uncomfortable, because you have matched his excellence. And I think that is something really powerful. And if we can get to that, it would be absolutely great. And I wish that you can do the same for yourself as well. You know, go out and make yourself uncomfortable in whatever way possible, and grow and become more. Because what else is there? You need to. If you're not becoming better, then maybe you're going backwards and you're becoming worse. So yeah, go for it. Become better. Be a genius. I give you the right. Wes, I gave you a license today to be great. And if anybody has a problem with that, direct them to me. I'll sort them out for you. Yeah, guys. Good news season. Good news only. Now, talking about good news and all things good, there's a gentleman who's the CEO of the Castle of Good Hope. This is something that has been running for quite some time, and they want to educate and make sure that many more people understand the history that's around that castle itself. And you might not know what I'm talking about. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to call the CEO right now, because we tied with the CEO like that. We can just call the CEO and just have a chat with him. And hopefully he's on the other end of this line. Let's just see if we can get the CEO on the line. The CEO? Any moment now?
You have reached the mailbox.
Let's try him one more time. But I mean, if this is the case, then we'll just leave him a message and say, "Yo, CEO, you are live on the show." And hey, it's ringing.
Hello?
Hello. I think, I'm looking for Mr. Calvin. Is he around?
You're calling me, Weza. You're calling the wrong person.
Tragic. I'm calling Palisa. You? Palisa, you see what you've done. Why do you want to get all the fame? You want to take all the shine?
You can't go to Fonelo Calvin and leave me alone.
All right, cool. Well, that's Palisa. She's one of the producers here at Cliff Central. I don't know why she wants us to she wanted to be on radio, and this is the perfect way for her to do it. Instead of actually just saying, "Yo, Eza, can I get an interview?" she decides to make sure that the line goes to herself. Hey, other people, bloody agents. But anyway, we're still going to get a hold of the gentleman, and we'll have a chance to actually have a chat with him. But I do have someone else in studio who's also doing some really cool stuff in her own space. And that's also what the show is about, really. It's about chatting to people who are building their own little empire state building. And sometimes you have to build it one brick at a time. And even though you might not know who that person is today, because you know you just know them for who they are right now, but you're not sure where they're gonna go, and that's actually the powerful thing. You see, also what I learned yesterday at the networking session was, you know what, don't look down upon a person just because they are where they are right now. Yeah, you don't know whose hand you're shaking just yet, you know? Yeah, it's just some guy who was just doing something and it didn't seem like it was all too fancy or even worth your while. But actually, you don't know what's going to happen in this person's life in the next 3 to 5 to 10 years. And the amazing thing was that these guys, for instance, at yesterday's presentation of this book launch, were showing pictures of how they looked like when they were in matric and how they looked like when they were graduating from varsity. And when you look at those people and you had to meet them, you wouldn't expect much from them. You didn't think that in about 2 to 3 years, they would be the youngest millionaires in the country. And also like the youngest sharks on Shark Tank in the international series itself. You wouldn't think all these things when you met them at that particular part in the journey. So it's amazing to sometimes just zoom in on a person as they still embarking on their journey. Already it starts to look promising, but we don't know who that person's going to be in a couple of years from now. So we got another lady who's exactly of that caliber. She's doing quite a lot. she's literally juggling a lot of things all at the same time. But let me just get to hear from her herself. Zanele, how you doing?
I'm so well, thank you, Eza. How are you doing today?
Fantastic. So tell us, Zanele, what do you do? Who is Zanele?
All right, so I guess for the past couple of years, rather, I've been a student after I matriculated, studying in a BEEC of economics and statistics. But that's not Zanele, that doesn't define me. It's just something that I'm studying.
Yeah.
So my passions lie in entertainment and mostly in presenting, radio, and hopefully one day acting as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. My heart is still there because I used to do it in high school. But at the current moment, I'm a radio host, an MC, aspiring presenter, and a whole lot more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So what are you studying again?
BCom, yes.
And how did you get into studying what you're studying?
Okay, so I am a BCom economics student. And wow, I did not start there. I started doing a BSc biological sciences. Mm-hmm. And I passed it. I passed it. I didn't leave because things were bad.
You're a clever, man.
Yes, I am. But yeah. I passed it and everything. But I wanted to actually go the medicine route initially. But then I realized that it wasn't for me. So I was like, okay, let's do the BCom route because I do enjoy the entrepreneurial side of life. I enjoy numbers as well. So I went that way. And now I'm in my third year of economics and statistics at the University of Pretoria.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What's interesting for me is the off-ramp. What made you start it in the first place? The BSc.
The BSc. Mm-hmm. All right. So for me, as I said, I used to act in high school. But with acting, I used to do debating, public speaking. And those were the things that really had my attention as a person. And I never really paid that much attention to my academics, actually. So come end of matric, my marks were good.
Yeah.
But they weren't good enough for medicine. So I first needed to go through the BSc way if I wanted to go into medicine. And then get to where I wanted to go at that time.
Mm.
But that wasn't the route for me at all.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what did the parents have to say about this whole switch from one thing to the other? Like this child.
Yeah, no. My family thinks I'm the most confused person in the world.
Yeah.
But
because now you said, Mama, you know what? BSc, Mama, there's future in BSc, there's money.
Yes.
And then they said, okay, cool, Mdanami, here's the money.
Yeah.
Go and study. And then you came back, Mama, you know what? Not in BSc. Mama, BCom, Mama, there's money.
Exactly.
And then, okay, cool, Mdanami,
BCom. And
they're
like, we trust you, it's okay, fine, now, go ahead.
And now you're coming back, Mama, presenting radio.
Along.
Mama, there's money.
Yeah, so, and that's one of the big things why for me, like, I wouldn't even say I give it my all because I want to prove it to them, but I think I give it my all because it's what I want to do with the rest of my life. Yeah. And like I said, they think that I'm very, very confused, but now that I finally found what I want to do and I know that it's what I'm going to do forever and ever and ever, I think they're becoming a little bit more supportive, especially
yeah.
So my mom. So I'm really grateful for that. And I'm also grateful for education, the education that I am getting from the University of Pretoria and everything, because I don't take that lightly because not everyone gets to obtain a degree. But I do, I am thankful that I found what I love.
Interesting.
Mm.
So you say that this is what you're going to do forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
And I feel that I don't know about that.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, there definitely is a time span in entertainment. However, I do feel that I will always somehow be involved. So take your Carol
so
Bowers.
I'm not, listen.
Okay.
So I'm not saying that you're going to expire.
Okay.
That's not what I'm saying.
Thanks, Wizza.
What I am saying though is that there's an era.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is destiny, right?
Yeah.
And I've heard once that the completion of an era is not the fulfillment of a destiny.
Mm.
So you had your...
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you'll have your era of being a student and being a student that studies this, then studies that, then studies the other.
Yeah.
And then it will come to its completion. And then there will be a new era that is introduced. And now in this era, you are doing something totally different.
Yeah.
And whether that era involves you being a corporate or it involves you being an entertainment person, that era will have its time and maybe that era will finish.
Yeah.
And then you will, you know, new things. You'll be a mother, maybe. You will be a parent or a grandparent. Now it's different, totally different.
It's very funny that you say that, though, because for me as well, I know that. So the way that I'm trying to get into the entertainment industry now is that I know for the next 10 years, that's what I'll be doing, entertainment alone.
Yeah.
Then I literally told myself, I was like, come 34, I know that something different's going to come along. Mm. And yes, I'll still be involved in the entertainment industry, you know, mentoring people and doing this, that, and the other in it. However, I do know that I will be doing something different as well at that time.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in that way, we need to, you know, create the room and allow life to also introduce new things, new seasons. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and that there's nothing wrong with embracing another season and another one and another one.
Mm.
And So, interesting. Interesting what you want to do and how you're going to do it.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
So the journey has probably not always been easy.
You know?
I normally like to call it a ish moment. Mm. What was your ish moment?
Okay, so for me, okay, I've been very fortunate in the sense that, all right, so we're at the top two now for the Mzansi Insider presenter search. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and we're finding out on Saturday who the Mzansi Insider presenter will be.
Yeah.
So I count myself fortunate because it was only, I think, at the beginning of this year that I decided I want to be in television.
Mm.
Right? So before, it was radio. And that was where I was like, okay, cool, I want to do radio. So I did radio, and then radio infringed on school. Things did not go so well. Mm. And as a result, I had to leave radio. But then I missed it way too much, and I finally got a hold on academics and everything, and I went back to radio. And I think for me, like I said, deciding at the beginning of this year that I wanted to go into television, my moment was my very first audition, because it was terrible. Oh my word. The nerves completely took over, and I can't even fathom what went on there. It was an absolute mess, honestly. So that was my moment, definitely. Mm. But now I'm here, so I'm grateful for that.
Well, look, we can't just fast forward through that as if the moment just happened that quickly.
Okay, yeah.
There's a lot that happened. There's a lot that contributed to you feeling that way. And just chat us through the whole day, the preparation, the anticipation, the how you thought this was it, and the disappointment, and how you felt. What was the weather like? What was the temperature?
Okay, so I can even go before that for you.
Yeah.
Because I, for that very first audition that I did, I started off with an online audition the same way I did for the Mzansi Insider presenter search. So it was the online audition, and with the online audition, you know, people really received it well. And I was lucky because people just, you know, were very encouraging, and they were like, no, you know, go for this, like, you're made for this and everything. So I was like, I'm feeling myself a bit, but not too much. But I was like, okay, let's run with this. Then come time to go to the actual live audition itself. So like I said, feeling myself a bit, being like, you know what, I've got high hopes for myself. Even if I don't win, I'm going to, you know, sort of almost take it all the way, make it to the top something. And for me to get to the audition and not even make it past the very first round of that audition was crazy. It was, wrapping my head around it was something else. It was one of the most disappointing things. I think it was the most disappointing thing I've ever gone through in my life. Because, like I said, you know, at least before, in the past, when I look at things, I'm like, at least I got to this point. With that, I literally got to the first round, and they were like, babes, go home.
Wow.
So it was just...
And how many people were auditioning?
I was about to say, there were so many. There were so many. But what made it even worse with that was that I went through the online audition. Mm-hmm. So there were people backing me, being like, go for this. Then to now have to go back the next day and be like, okay, so guys, I didn't make it through.
Didn't make it, yeah.
Yeah, and people were so supportive, so that was really sweet. But it was, it was a difficult thing to kind of get through and understand that it didn't go well.
Yeah. Mm. And those are sometimes the things that happen within the journey.
Definitely.
Now, sometimes the inner conversations around that could be, shucks, am I that bad that so many people are better than me?
Mm.
Like, what? They were 1,000 people there.
Yeah, yeah.
So 1,000 people are better than me.
Are better than me.
So 1,000 people first have to be employed before I go anywhere.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's one way to look at it.
Well, I suck, don't I?
Yeah.
These are real conversations.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you even start kind of questioning yourself, like, am I meant to do this as a whole?
Yeah.
So having to build yourself up again is just something else.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it also builds a lot of character and it makes you stronger and more resilient. So,
yeah.
Some good comes from it.
Nah, definitely, definitely. All right, cool. So we're going to jump straight back to you. But we need to just have that conversation with that gentleman that I wanted to have on the line a short little while ago. And I think we might just have him this time around. Hopefully, let's hold thumbs that Palesa doesn't intercept the call again and try to be famous on us, because, you know, Palesa is an enemy of progress sometimes.
Yeah.
And he just, you know, she just likes hogging the spotlight, as she just so generously did not too long ago. In fact, I'm even scared to call now because I'm worried that she's going to just come jump in the picture again. Shucks, guys. Yo, and I'm even nervous. Who do I call? Who do I not call?
Which number is the right one?
Which one is the right one? Let's hope that this number right here is the right one. Hello.
Hello, it's Calvin speaking. How are you?
Fantastic. Great. Thank you, Calvin. How are you doing?
Oh, fantastic. I'm very well. Thank you.
Great.
I'm just returning your missed call, sir.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thank you for returning it. Calvin, you're live right now on cliffcentral.com, and I believe that you have good news and good hope for us.
Yes, always good hope. You see, they say a nation without hope is a nation lost. So,
wow,
so I'm trying to bring the message of the Castle of Good Hope, which is vibrant. You can hear the noises of school kids, of colleagues here.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of vibrancy. Maybe people are happy because we had some rain in Cape Town.
Oh, fantastic. Finally. Yes. That rain, we've been waiting for that rain for a very long time.
Yes, indeed, yes, yes. Mm.
So tell me about what's going on right now, right there at the school.
At the castle.
Yes, at the castle. Yes.
No, what we obviously have here on the back of a highly successful 350-year commemoration last year, there's been a huge public awareness of the castle and the history of South Africa, and how the castle was in fact very central in the development of that history.
Yeah.
So what we have for the past month or so is school groups from all over the province and also from other parts of the world really streaming into the castle and try to learn about that history. And especially because we package the history not as in the old days. It's packaged with a more inclusive history. It's telling the truth from other perspectives. So I think people are very eager to see that. And as I say, I'm looking over a school in green and white now, who's sitting on the lawn and really sharing that history with one another. I just love it because it reminds me of my youth, a youth where we were not having access to all of, you know, the heritage and the cultural facilities of our country, but the youth can now enjoy that. Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. And I also noticed that when I look at the murals that you paint at the schools, that you really try to make it look very interactive. Kids can kind of follow along the timeline. It really looks pretty cool, the green and the blue. Chat us through why exactly you went with that feel, and also just more about the murals themselves, because I believe it's not just at one school.
No, let me before I go into the design thinking around the mural that Mr. Jalevery give Getiwe and his school media group the credit for. The mural is now already rolled out in over 70 schools, and we hope to have that at over 200 schools by the end of this year. So that's where it is. Now, coming to the design, obviously, if you look at how people consume history and heritage today, the youngsters, they do it on the phone, they do it on their tablets, they do it in another way. So,
sure.
So design is very important. So I think the brilliant colors and the choice of fonts is there to create that interest and to communicate to the youth in their style, in their language, in their approach. So that was really the thinking behind it. And it's so far so good because people are very positive. Not only the school kids, also the teachers are very positive because now people pause in front of that mural and they take a time, sorry, pardon the pun, take time to go through that timeline on that mural. And in that way, they can learn from the mural and then go back to their tablets or to the websites and get some more information, on the history.
Yeah.
Not only, as I said, not only the history of the castle, but the history of South Africa that's very, very closely tied to the castle, of course.
Absolutely fantastic. I guess that in a way, you're taking history, which is an old school message, and portraying it in a new school way.
Yes, of course. You know, if you probably know your history lesson, it's about boring people, dead people, and mostly men, and you don't really get the appetite for that because part of it was also the way that it has been, positioned.
Yeah.
It's there. We want to get through it. But I think nowadays and with globalization, people realize that if we don't learn from the past and take those powerful lessons of the past, and most of all, not repeat the bad things of the past, then there's no future for us. And I think that is what the school kids understand. They begin now to understand that there's a link between the past, the present, and the future. In if you look what's happening in South Korea, you know what's happening in the DRC, what's happening in our own country with xenophobia and stuff. People understand that a nation without an understanding of the past is doomed to failure. And that for me is very exciting. I myself must admit I wasn't very fond of history, but now I can understand that history is just part of a continuum, a continuity between what's happened then, what's happened now, and what's going to happen tomorrow or the day after tomorrow.
Wow, absolutely fantastic. I love how you've literally highlighted the importance of this project towards the youth and them understanding their history, especially now when you're saying that it addresses the social ills, like things like xenophobia would happen less, there would be less occurrences or less people partaking in certain things if they understood more about where we come from and where we're going. And I guess that really right there is important. So tell me really quick, maybe in conclusion, what is the legacy going forward? Like where do we expect this project to be rolled out in future, and what does the future look like?
It's essentially threefold. The first one is that the murals must go out to the other schools, the outstanding schools, so that more people start to talk about it. Even if people don't understand it, there is a conversation about it. That's the first one. The second one is now to push for chunks of it, elements of it, to be getting into the school curriculum. Because, once people sort of almost compelled to learn about it, they will explore and go deeper into it. So that's the second one. Mm-hmm. And then the third one is really to go digital. That people undertake the virtual tours, because not all people can afford to travel down to Cape Town to come and see these cultural, treasures that they have here. But what they can at least do is to go to www.castleofgoodhope.co.za and to take a virtual tour of that, and in that way also get excited about our history that is now becoming alive. So it's about taking something that is usually presented as dead and make it alive in your own language. So that is the legacy, that youngsters take hold of heritage and history and make it their own. So that they don't have the same problems that we had when we were at school, that we see history as a dead subject.
Wow. Yeah. And I mean, I don't even know if history is pushed as much as it used to be, because I think there was a time in primary school, you had a history class, and then in high school, you had a history class. It was dedicated to just that. And I feel that I remember a time where they actually took history class out, and history class, by the way, had those dusty books that didn't look all too nice. Whereas the technology book
was, want to put it back. Say we don't have to go to books. We can go online. You can go on websites. You can go on your
videos,
cell phone, you can go on your tablet.
Your PC.
That's what we're saying. That's the new space that history must occupy and be relevant and be alive, be exciting, be animation, sketches. And like this conversation that we're having here now.
Yeah.
In our voices, we must show that excitement and we must show that passion for the past, simply because it's linked to the present and to the future.
Great stuff. Now that's excellent, excellent stuff. And in fact, I'm looking forward to really seeing that unfold in years to come. And we need more people like you, and we need support for people like you as well. I'm happy to hear that you already are doing quite a lot, and you're already mobile. And I think it would be great for even more people to support you. And how can people get a hold of you if they wanted to support the cause, whether by just being present or by adding in whatever way?
There are obviously three ways. The one way is to come and visit the castle at Cape Town. That's the first prize.
Great. I think I'm going to do that.
Yes, when they come to the waterfront, when they come to the Table Mountain, they include the castle in their itinerary.
Yeah.
The second one is online, that they go www.castleofgoodhope.co.za and access what we have. It's a website in development, and people can contribute to that development. Or if they want to get hold of me personally, it's my number is 082-334-6098. They can call me, or they can send me an SMS, or they can engage me, so that I be able to share that passion with them, and so that they become the runners in future. I'm getting old. I mean, the youngsters must now run. Youngsters must run with these things now. Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. Well, now everybody knows the number to the CEO, so no one has an excuse. Yes. When we get to Cape Town, we have first row seats to the castle. So thank you very much for your generosity in terms of that.
It's a pleasure, and thank you for the honor to speak for the first time on your platform.
Sure thing, brother. Thank you very much for the call. Absolutely fantastic that we could have that chat to you, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you. Enjoy the weekend, the coming weekend. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Bye. Great stuff. So that right there was the CEO. Right, was the CEO of the Castle of Good Hope. The amazing stuff that they're doing. That is Mr. Calvin Gilfillan. And the things that they're doing really, I think, is amazing in terms of just building the country and also building the heritage of the country in a whole new way as well. Tearing a story from a different narrative. It's actually interesting. I was emceeing this event once, and it was a girl's res that had to come on stage next, and their theme was called Her Story. The interesting thing there was when I started to do my funny spin on words that I normally do, is it's interesting because history is literally that, his story. It's the perspective of the male of how things happened. And normally they are the great, Alexander the Great, Van Gogh, Plato. You mean to tell me that there were no women who were painting amazing things that were really big? No women who were composing amazing music? Is that true? Are there no women who discovered new lands and said, I shall call it America? You know, like how we always know history from his perspective. It was his story. He told it to us, and that's why it is his story. And now they were talking about her story. Like maybe one day we can have, women saying what happened and women painting down, the happenings of the past. You know, the Bible, I think most of it is written by males. And maybe it was just the social system back in those days. But what we're saying is that history versus his story. Interesting concept. You can just play around with that or just throw it away. It's up to you. Cool. So we still, though, chatting to a hustler of note. And we back with some hustling music.
Hey.
Her story, his story, his story, my story.
It's our story.
Our story. Pretty cool that we're playing this to the OJ instrumental. Anyway, cool. We back. So we were talking about the ish moment, right?
Yes, yes.
So now I want to know about the moment, like
like the one where I can be like, all right. So for me, it would definitely have to be when they told us that we were in the top two. But even besides for that, because I don't think it sunk in.
Yeah.
So only the next day we were doing the PR shoot.
Yeah.
And we were doing it with a really awesome photographer, Nick Bolton. Mm-hmm. He's very well known for his work. And it was then when they gave us the makeover and everything and sort of mm-hmm. made us look like superstars. That's when I was like, okay, yeah, maybe we're in the top two now. Maybe this is actually happening. So, and that was when I was able to like step back and they started doing press releases and everything. And I was like, yeah, this is actually happening. Because yeah, before that, it really felt surreal.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the yeah, nah moment.
100%. 100%.
Absolutely fantastic. Yeah. And I mean, now being in that, seeing cameras flash around you and realizing you are who you are.
Yeah.
How did that feel compared to the journey and the sacrifices and everything else that led to this?
I think one of the most beautiful moments about getting to that yeah moment and being where I am now is that it's confirmation of what you want to do and of your passion. It's almost like this is why I wanted to do this, and yes, it is possible. So for me to get so far in this competition, the Mzansi Insider Presenter Search, I'm able to be like, I know that it is possible, and being right here, like by the finish line, and of course, you know, hoping for the best and everything. Yeah, it's an incredible feeling, and I'm really excited about the future.
Fantastic stuff. Tell me, do you think you're a big deal?
I think you've got to believe you're a big deal in life. I think, yeah. I think, of course, you know, you always need to keep yourself grounded. But I think I wouldn't say I'm a big deal. I'd say I believe in myself. I believe in my craft, and I believe in what I love to do.
Why wouldn't you say you're a big deal?
I wouldn't want to say that I wouldn't want to say it in a pompous way. But
it started off so nicely, and then your subconscious just came back and said, sit down, girl, what you talking about?
No, I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to say like say it in a pompous way, but here's am I a big deal?
So yes. Yeah, well, calm down, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about life. Cool. There's nothing wrong with being a big deal.
Yeah.
In fact, you can stretch out your hands right now and say, I'm a big deal.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm a big deal.
100%.
There's nothing wrong with that. When you say you're a big deal, it means nothing about someone else.
Mm.
You're not saying you're a small deal like to the other person. You're just saying, yo, look, I don't know about you, but I'm a big deal.
Yeah.
I think I'm a big deal. I think what I'm doing is great. I am better than who I was last month. I'm better than who I was before.
A day ago. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm. I'm a big deal.
100%.
There's nothing wrong with being a big deal, you know? So the world sometimes is just wired that way to want to tell you that you need to shrink yourself, that you need to be in your lane, that, you know, all these things that make you think, okay, cool. Well, you start off with like, right now, well, here's what happened. Literally, you said, you have to believe you're a big deal. And then your mind was like, let me. So this happens to everybody. Then right after that, you're like, Then in your mind, you're like, okay. All right. I'm a medium deal. Don't be defensive.
No,
then you're like, okay. All right, I'm a deal. And then your mind's like, girl, we don't know about that. Like, okay, look, I'm a negotiation.
You are actually the worst. No,
please. It happens.
Let me
not just with you.
I definitely get what you're saying. But for me, I mean that I know I'm a big deal. Hence, I took, you know, the initiative to get into a competition. I would have never entered a competition not thinking that I'm able to win. I would have never entered a competition not thinking that I'm a big deal.
Do you think you're a winner? You think you won the competition?
I think that we'll find out on Saturday. I think we'll definitely find out on Saturday. However,
Mayweather was like, you know, you need to be like those guys. It's like,
it's already done.
It's done, guys.
I suppose. I believe that I am a winner. And I believe that I'm worthy of winning. Because at the end of the day, in terms of this, it is, you know, in the hands of the votes and everything and all the challenges that led up to this point.
Yeah.
So on Saturday is when we're going to find out what the result of that is. Where it's not exactly in my hands. Everything's already said and done. So that's why I'm saying I am a winner and I'm worthy of winning. Now it's finding out if I am the next Mzansi Insider presenter.
Okay.
I'd like to believe in my heart, hey?
Yeah. Now the most important thing is that you are a winner psychologically. You need to win over yourself, you know. I know exams are coming up for many people, and here's the interesting thing: is, you know, people always tell you, know, your mindset, and you're thinking, yeah, stuff my mindset, man. I need to just learn. I need to pass.
Yeah.
But actually, the interesting thing is, you know, when I say, stop saying "aish" because it's negative, yeah. You know, and you're thinking, I don't know what that has to do with me passing.
Mm.
Here's what it has to do. When you are writing an exam, it's not your feet writing the exam. It's not your legs. It's not your arms. And "aish" don't affect those things.
Yeah.
"Aish" affects your mind.
Mm.
The same mind, the same brain that has to remember everything and reproduce it on exam day. The same brain that that actually makes you fail or pass.
Mm.
The same brain can be affected by being a little bit negative or saying, "Ish, the course is chowing, ish,
and that's
flames,
very true.
The ashes and so on." So that's how powerful that same mind is.
Mm.
Some would say that your thoughts create your reality.
Yeah. Definitely.
And if your thoughts can create your failing in an exam, then it literally does.
You're allowing it to be possible.
It can create your reality and, in fact, affect your future.
Yeah.
The same mind. And if you just removed "aish" and you replace it with "wow, interesting. All right, what a challenge.
Let's get on with this challenge." Yeah.
If you replace it with positive words, maybe your mind would be a little more positive now and then. And who knows what difference that would make in your output.
Yeah.
Because your brain is what produces your output.
Yes.
It is so powerful. And now you think, it's not in my hands, it's this and it's that. But actually, so much of it is still in your hands.
Yeah.
And your mindset will create your reality. Is it about winning a competition or is it about fulfilling a dream?
One knows that you're an inspirational speaker because I feel so inspired right now. I'm ready to take on the world.
Great. That's exactly the type of conversations we like to have on the platform. It's supposed to be there to be constructive. To help you build on your walls of greatness, you know, one brick at a time. Just lay that brick perfectly, and then the next one, then the next one. Every single week we lay another brick, or sometimes we lay like 10 bricks at a time. Of how powerful the conversations get sometimes, which is really powerful. And here's the interesting thing about something I also learned somewhere this week, just chatting to like-minded people, is that the first one is, we all know until we are reminded.
Okay. Please explain.
It's like, you know, you're supposed to be positive. You know, you're supposed to eat right. You know, you're supposed to sleep 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
You know, most of the time when a motivational speaker comes and they speak to you, most of the things when you're like, and you agree, because it's as if these things are part of your genetic makeup. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been in this conversation in the first place.
Or you wouldn't be taking it in the way that you are.
But we know everything until we are reminded.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know everything until we are reminded.
That's very true.
Then we're like, oh, wow.
I do have to sleep 8 hours a night.
It makes sense.
Mm.
You know, and that's why the show will never lose relevance.
Yeah.
Is because we all know. Yeah, guys, we all know.
We need to hear these things.
We all know until we are reminded.
Yeah.
Then we're like, oh, shucks, that. How could I? You know, I've always done that. I don't know why now, you know?
Yeah.
The best example is probably when your mom comes and visits your place and your mom's like, what the hell? Why are these?
Very true.
And you're like, mom, I wish you were here yesterday. You know, yesterday this place was spick and span.
Yes.
I normally do exactly what you say. It's just that it's today. I don't know. I do this, mom. I do this all the time.
I normally do. Yeah. I
know
definitely get
what
you.
You're saying, mom. Yeah. And today it was just, you know, you caught me off guard.
Not the day. Yeah.
And, you know, you sometimes have that motivational, inspirational friend that's going to tell you what, you know, you say something wrong. And they're like, that's a poverty mindset. And you're like, inside, you're like, I know. I don't know why I said that. Can I just take it back? Give me back those points, okay? Don't take them away just yet. So
was that you calling me to order? But was that when I kind of shied away from that, I'm a big deal and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, but it was, you need to understand this, like the Oracle on the movie The Matrix, when she said to Neo, don't worry about the vase. And then he said, what vase? And when he turned, he bumped the vase and it broke.
Mm.
And then he said, oh, shucks, I'm sorry about the vase. Then she said, I told you, don't worry about the vase. And he's like, whoa, how do you know? How did you know that I was going to bump the vase?
Yeah.
And she says, the real question is, if I said it, would you have bumped it?
Oh, wow.
Mm. So would I have, me asking you if you're a big deal and me calling you to order.
Yeah.
Was I calling you to order? Would I have had to call you to order if I never asked it? Mm. Maybe it was all strategic. Maybe I did this on purpose.
So I'm in the Matrix. Unplugged. The Unplugged show, the Matrix.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. And I am the Oracle.
Hey, okay. Okay, babe, I see you.
Yeah, no, pretty cool. So the second thing that I learned, still in line with this, is the first one was, we all know until we are reminded, right? We know everything until we are reminded. Mm. The second one is, we all know that, like, we know what to do, but do we do what we know?
Mm.
Yeah. We all know, but do we do what we know?
The easy part
is to know.
Mm.
But the people who are really successful and who are really making amazing products out of their lives are people who do what they know.
Mm.
Because we know we're supposed to be healthy. We know we're supposed to
work hard.
We know we're supposed to believe in ourselves. Yeah. We know we're supposed to not procrastinate. We know even the word exists, procrastination.
Yeah.
And then it's bad and taboo. And we know, study on time.
Mm.
Study an hour a day.
Ooh, preach.
Do this, do.
Yeah.
We know.
Mm.
But do we do what we know?
That really is, yeah, no. I definitely get what you're saying. And especially for me, I think university especially, and you bringing up studying and everything, we all know we're supposed to work hard. We all know what the formula of, like, getting a degree is. But it's, do we do it? And most of the time the answer is no.
And doesn't that mean that you are your own limiter?
Mm.
You're creating the barrier yourself.
Yeah.
You're saying, no, you're not allowed to.
Yeah.
Like, why? It's like you are on this side of the room, and through the window, there is your greatness.
Mm.
And you even know what to do to get there. You, isn't that just the biggest crime you can commit against yourself?
It really is.
You see it. You know how to achieve it. But you don't do what you know.
Yeah.
You're not doing it.
I definitely
don't. And we can ask you, why? Why are you not doing it?
And maybe one answer to that is fear. Some people, it's one thing to want something, but it's one thing to actually have the courage to go after it as well. And to actually believe that you're going to get it and live it out.
But the crazy part here is, you know that your kitchen's supposed to be clean.
Mm.
You know that it takes dishes to wash. It takes washing dishes to make the dishes clean and the kitchen clean.
Yeah.
And you know how to wash dishes, but you don't do it.
Sometimes it's the fear of the hard work, maybe.
I come on.
Serious, guys, but
it's the biggest battle, I think, that the human race is fighting.
Mm.
Fighting against yourself.
Because
if you can conquer yourself, you can conquer your mind, then nothing can stand in your way.
Mm.
Because everything is simple, guys. It is so crazy that everything you want is within your reach.
100%.
And you know what to do. Actually, I'm no longer going to be sympathetic towards anything. You know what to do.
Yeah.
You're just out here sitting, not doing it. You hope someone else can do it for you. You hope that you it's like sitting on the couch looking at the TV and it's the wrong channel and you hate what is playing, Phineas and Ferb. My gosh, how can I watch this?
Okay, don't drag Phineas and Ferb.
Whatever is playing, we can make it something worse. So whatever.
Yes.
Whatever is playing. And you're thinking, I should not be watching this. I should be constructing my brain with the Discovery Channel. But the remote is so far.
Yeah.
I mean, it's on the other side of the room and you're looking at the remote saying, would you not just come closer to my head? The remote is chilling there. The remote's not going anywhere. And you just wish the remote can come closer to you so you can change the channel. But that's not how life works. You have to get up and go. And you know what it takes to get up and go. But sometimes you just stand in your way somehow. It's weird that
it's crazy
that we can stand in our
in
own
our
way.
In our own way, yes.
It's one thing having those bad bands that stand in your way. The bad and bougie girls that are like... You know what, girl? You ain't gonna get it. Cause I don't wanna let you.
Are you speaking from experience, Wiza?
No. What I mean is,
there are
people sometimes, like, some people call them the haters. You know, there are haters in the world, my bro. They don't want you to be successful. They don't want us to have a bigger pool than Kanye. You know?
they want to have the bigger circle.
Exactly. You know what I mean? You make the circle bigger, but for some, not for everybody. No, we want the bigger circle too, my bro.
Yes.
You know, and it doesn't take much to make a circle bigger, but there are those people who don't want everybody to get that.
Yeah.
And never mind them. You don't want you to be great.
That. Exactly.
Which is, I think, quite crazy. It's quite sad. I don't understand why we could be so counterproductive. And I think...
Towards ourselves, even.
Yeah. Mm. And sometimes we find ways to blame. Like, blame is the easiest thing to do. You blame conditions, circumstance, time, your job, your occupation, your family contribution, and your responsibilities or your size. You're like, I'm big boned, I'm this, I'm that. You know, you find so many things that you can point at instead of saying, it's me. It's me. I am responsible. Guys, wow. I'm holding myself back. I'm blocking. This is not even a glass, like, it's not a glass wall. There is no wall.
Yeah.
It's there.
It's
me.
Yeah.
I'm freaking lazy. I don't want to put one foot in front of the other. It's me. I don't know if I should call it lazy or just hate. Do I hate myself? What the hell? Why am I not doing these things that are just right here in front of me? You're going to get older anyway. Time's going to pass anyway.
Yeah.
You're going to use energy anyway. Either using energy just chilling here or doing the thing that you wanted to do to get to where you want to be.
100%.
And I think that right there is probably my epiphany for the day.
For the day.
For the week.
It's a great one. It's a great one.
Chew on it for a whole week. And we'll come back and we'll talk some more. This has been the shortest hour of the week. It's been absolutely fantastic and it's ended yet again. Thank you very much for being my guest today.
Thank you for having me. I really had an awesome time. Thank
great,
so
great, man.
I'm leaving inspired.
Oh, great.
Yes.
Fantastic. And I'm hoping everybody's leaving inspired too, because that's exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to make sure that people are inspired and they, you know, they go out there becoming better and becoming better people in society as well. So how do we get a hold of you? How do we stay in touch?
All right. So I'm on Instagram. I'm at Zan Potalwa. Mm-hmm. It's P-O-T without an H, P-O-T-E-L-W-A. And then on all my other social media, it's at Zanele Potelwa, Facebook Zanele Potelwa.
Did you just say Potelwa now in a nice way, but when you had to say the first link, you said Potelwa?
Why are you exposing me, Weza? Because no one else heard that except you.
Well, that's why I'm here.
Zanele Potelwa.
Potelwa, like... You know, because we went to, like, you know, good schools and stuff. So, I'm Patelwa. My whole generation was getting it wrong.
You're like the
but
worst.
I just got it right. It's Patelwa, guys. Watch the space. Patelwa.
Definitely
this
watch the
this is what
space.
You're going to do when you get famous. Patelwa.
Oh, please. Oh, please.
You leave us behind. You're now Patelwa.
Oh, please.
You know,
Patelwa,
like,
for life.
It just needs to sound international. So, can I be Patelwa from now on? Like, please tell them to say it right.
It's not my fault.
It's like gotten a, what's that thing? A hyphen. It's got a hyphen.
It's not my fault. I blame my Model C school, please.
All right, fantastic. Thank you very much, Ms. Potelwa.
Thank you. It's
been absolutely fantastic having you in studio. And just like that, guys, it's another really short hour. Thank you very much for tuning in. We're going to do this again next time around. And this is how you are, part of the superstar leaders. Go out there and shine. Be the difference. Remember, life doesn't come at you. It comes from you. CliffCentral.com.